What's up, homies? How are you? Hope you're having a fantastic day so far, fantastic week. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Footballer's Journey podcast. We got episode 64 on our hands. If you don't know me by now, my name is Eric Friedlander. Some call me Rick Fit, some call me Big Rick. I'm a 26-year-old footballer currently playing in Israel. I also own Rick Fit, where I train people in person as well as online, helping them reach their potential as an athlete and as a human. This podcast is dedicated to interviewing professional footballers around the world and seeing their day-to-day life behind the scenes, what they do in the darkness that makes them a professional and that keeps them at that top level. Today we're bringing on Tanner Dogan. Sorry if I mispronounce his name once again. He's a footballer currently playing in Ireland. He graduated from Harvard, and he's originally from St. Louis, Missouri. This was an excellent interview. As always, I learned a lot, and I'm sure you will as well. Enjoy, and I'll see you at the end of the episode. Deuces.
Eric, hey, how you doing?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. Sorry to correct you. It's Tanner, actually.
Sorry, bro. Sorry.
No, you're all right.
I was going to ask you.
No, you're all right.
How's everything going over there in Ireland?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, obviously, we've had our season shortened, but we're obviously still playing games and everything. So, you know, it could be a lot worse, and it's going well. So, yeah.
Solid, bro. How's the COVID situation there? How are the numbers?
Quite recently, they've kind of increased a bit. So we've gone to level 3, which is you can't eat inside restaurants, everything. But in terms of our league, a couple games are postponed. Individual teams had some cases, but we're still going. So
okay.
It could be worse. I know you're playing in Israel, and it sounds like it's probably all halted for now.
Yeah, bro. All leagues are on halt, and you know, we had a 3-week lockdown. It was supposed to end last Friday, but the numbers haven't gone down, so
right.
They're even talking about potentially canceling the league, so it's been crazy, you know.
Right. Yeah, I just gotta hope for the best with that. You know, nothing you can do really, so
for sure.
Exactly.
But yeah, man, thanks for jumping on the pod. If you can the IGTV, which we're gonna turn into a pod, but yeah, you know, good to meet you. Like I said to the audience before, it's my first time meeting you, and it'll be a nice conversation. You could just introduce yourself, you know, how old you are, where you're from, where you're currently playing, and kind of a little bit about your football background.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. So I'm Tanner Dogan. I'm 22, midfielder from St. Louis, Missouri. So I actually lived in a couple of places growing up. Was born in Seattle, lived in a rural town in Missouri called Rolla, lived in San Diego a bit, and then lived in St. Louis for high school. So, you know, I'd say my hometown, St. Louis. But yeah, currently I'm playing for Athlone Town on loan from Dundalk FC in Ireland. So, yeah, Dundalk is the reigning champions of the Premier Division of the League of Ireland. And they actually just qualified for the Europa League group stages last week. So, which is a pretty good accomplishment. And I came over here in January after I finished school on trial. Left a bit for Corona, came back, and I'm on loan now playing a lot of games and enjoying it. So, yeah, it's going well.
Solid, bro. So where'd you play growing up? I know they have some good teams over in Missouri.
Yeah, so I played for St. Louis, Scott Gallagher. We know we had good teams and good coaching and youth club in general. It was amazing. I really wouldn't want to be a part of any other club growing up. And after playing 4 years there, I played at Harvard for 4 years before coming here.
Solid, bro. Solid. And, you know, for anyone watching, no matter where they are in the world, I'm sure they know Harvard and how prestigious it is academically. You know, I think one thing that's very key, very big, and something I always like to talk about with young guys and, you know, guys who want to become pros is time management. And I think that's huge. And I just wanted to ask, you know, how do you, because obviously I'm sure the studies at Harvard were pretty rigorous. How did you kind of, manage your time and kind of develop the right habits to succeed both in football and in school?
Yeah, and I feel like once you're in that environment, you're going to kind of just kind of get into that routine of what you're doing, whereas when you wake up, your meals, classes, training, and everything like that. So once you're in that routine, it doesn't even feel like you're managing your time. It's just like how you're going about your day, if that makes sense, really. And
For sure.
obviously, you're always looking forward to going to training and everything that comes around that, whether it's, in the locker room with everybody else and, the prehab and the gym stuff. So that's always going to be the highlight of your day. So at least for me it was. So you obviously get your school stuff done and then you look forward to playing football. So yeah.
Yeah, of course, bro, of course. So, how long you been playing the game?
Yeah, ever since you're really running around and walking when you're a little kid, I was just playing in the basement with my dad, and probably when I was just a couple years old, and kind of led to me just joining teams and eventually just higher level teams, and kind of just went from there, really.
Solid, bro. Solid. So you said you left school in January. So you graduated, and then did you graduate early? Is that how you did it?
Correct. Yeah. So I just took a couple classes ahead of time just so I'd meet the graduation requirements a semester early. So yeah, and it was all finished up by January, and then had an opportunity to come on trial at Dundalk. I was here for a couple weeks, went with a team to a preseason training camp in Spain. I tried to play against CSK Moscow, CFR
Wow.
Cluj, and then basically I had to go back to the United States when they kind of sorted my visa out to come back. So then as soon as the visa and everything was sorted, I came back, and then a couple days later the coronavirus lockdown hit. So at that point, my girlfriend actually lives in London. She went to Harvard as well, but I just stayed there in London with her for the whole lockdown, just kind of training on my own. And as soon as the manager here just called me to come back, I came back in end of May, beginning of June, just for training and stuff like that.
Solid, bro. Solid. So, obviously the college process is quite interesting. A lot of guys who listen here, a lot of girls are interested in the college process. What other schools besides Harvard were recruiting you?
Yeah, so obviously I was from St. Louis, so a lot of Midwest schools, kind of Big Ten type of schools. I know Indiana was one I've wanted to visit there, and at the time they were, they still are obviously doing so well in the pitch. So that was kind of a big option for me. And obviously I kind of went into it thinking I wanted to go to the biggest soccer school per se, and obviously try to
Sure.
advance your career from there. But obviously when the Harvard opportunity, came up, it's tough to turn that down, especially when the coaching staff there showing a lot of interest and everything. So no, I was happy with the decision. I have a Harvard degree now, and I'm, playing football full time. So at the end of the day, I'm happy with everything that went on.
For sure, for sure. What'd you major in at school?
Economics. So
Solid.
yeah, we'll see if it's ever directly applied to what I do. Hopefully I can just stay in the game as a player as long as I can, and then, be in the game from different rules and I'm done. But it's always good to have that in your back pocket.
Yeah, man, you never know what you can use that for. But yeah, how'd you enjoy your time over there? I know, I'm pretty familiar with Boston. I love the area over there. I think it's a great area where Harvard is. And how'd you enjoy the 4 years there?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, you're saying Boston is probably my favorite places that I've lived in the United States, at least.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, and it was good. I mean, off the field, you're going to meet so many great people on the team and off the team as well. Obviously, stay close to a lot of those people still. Obviously, in terms of soccer, my freshman year, we were doing quite well in terms of results and rankings. And the sophomore to the senior years, we unfortunately just weren't at the same level we were our freshman year. But I was kind of just learning a lot of different things. Obviously, the college system, as there's so much debate on things that can be
Sure.
improved. And 100%, I agree that a lot of things can be changed to improve it. But especially in the spring, you kind of learn a lot about yourself and what kind of training works for you, because you're not always in that team environment that you'd like to be in. So yeah, it's a lot of just kind of learning about yourself and learning to develop and train on your own as well as with the team.
For sure, for sure. So how'd you get that opportunity over in Ireland?
Yeah, so the ownership group, the previous chairman, his name is Mike Tracy, and he actually, the ownership group, Peak Six, is American, but he actually met me at Harvard, and we were in contact for probably since the previous summer. and then just kind of said there's an opportunity and just go see how it is and what they think of me. So yeah, I went over there and I was fortunate enough to kind of work out for me to stay longer term, and it just kind of went from there, really.
No, for sure. No, that's great stuff. And like you were saying, you know, the debate about the college game and compared to Europe and other professional leagues, what was the jump, would you say, from Harvard, the NCAA Division I, to the Premier League in Ireland?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it is a professional environment. We're not everybody at Harvard, you know, is really looking to be a full-time professional. There's other interests those people, some of the guys have, and, you know, they'll be successful in their own right in those fields. But, you know, for me, during school, I was always kind of training with some professional teams, whether in the U.S. or abroad, you know, my summer breaks and spring breaks and stuff like that. So, you know, I felt I was kind of used to being in those professional environments before I got here. But no, I mean, once you're on the pitch and you're training, you know, it won't be as different as you think. You know, you're still performing. There's still a match day. You know, people think it's drastic difference between the levels. It's just the fine margins that really separate each level, if that makes sense. So,
for sure, for sure. And like you said, those little details and the consistency of it.
Oh, of course, 100%.
So you said you play, what do you play, attacking midfielder?
Yeah, center mid. So
okay. Yeah, no, because I watched a little bit of your highlights, and I saw you were also playing on right back and left back as well in college, or were you just drifting out kind of?
Yeah, no, we played a bit of 3-5-2 in college one of the years, and I kind of played one of the outside center backs, you know, for kind of stretch of games.
It's a great position, man. Really.
Yeah. The 3-5, and then the 3, it's actually nice. You step in with the ball and, you know, kind of play from there. But, you know, so I've been here all center mid and, you know, naturally center mid, but obviously I think I have some versatile traits to play some other roles and kind of give the team those spots too.
So what are you, more like a number 8 box to box?
Yeah. Okay. Say I'm more of a number 8 box, you know, box to box midfielder. So yeah, just kind of get up and down and, you know, try to receive the balls and good pockets and, you know, go be dangerous going forward as well. So yeah.
Solid. So who do you kind of like to look up to as a player? You know, who do you, you know, like to watch and emulate your game after?
Yeah, I think my favorite player at the moment, I think the best midfielder is Kevin De Bruyne in terms of, you know, the spaces he, you know, kind of occupies. And obviously when he does have the ball, it's the, you know, the quality he has to, you know, make assists and score goals and everything. So, you know, I think that's someone that in my position I look up to and try to emulate a little bit. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. So if you could, you know, give us a quick, like, rundown of a day in the life, in your life right now, you know, as a pro, I mean, obviously without, you know, if there are any COVID restrictions, maybe like a day where there aren't COVID restrictions, just like a rundown, how you, you know, what time you wake up and what you eat and things like that, just to give the younger guys a little glimpse into how your day looks.
Yeah, of course. So I'll basically do a day when I'm in a train day with Dundalk, because even though I'm on loan with Athlone, they're in the second tier here, they're part-time. So I was still training with Dundalk full-time, coming here one night and playing. So, yeah, I'll just say, because with COVID the last couple weeks of the season, I'm staying in Athlone just because they don't want so much mixing with the group. So I'll just go day in Dundalk, usually be in there for about 9:30. I'll probably wake up at 8, kind of make my breakfast. There is breakfast at the club, but I kind of like to have eggs, and it's mainly just oatmeal and toast at the club. So yeah, I'll probably have, you know, 3 eggs, beans on toast, and usually depending on how hungry.
Breakfast.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And I do prefer kind of like a bigger breakfast. I know a lot of people are kind of the opposite, and they don't eat much in the morning. But, you know, depending on how hungry I am, I'll have like a, you know, bowl of oatmeal as well with that. And then go to training. There's kind of a half an hour slot designated to kind of your own prehab. So I'll kind of just do a whole body foam roll, you know, a couple of different prehab exercises that'll kind of just alternate basically how my body feels throughout the season and everything. Then we'll have like a, you know, like a team activation. We'll go on the pitch. Usually sessions starts at around 10:30, goes till about noonish, maybe around 12:30, depending on the day of the week. We'll have a gym session, probably 30, 45 minutes. And then lunch at the club, you know, kind of shower up, and then probably be out around, you know, 1:32 or so. So
what do you usually have for lunch?
Yeah, so I'm pescatarian actually, so I don't
Solid.
eat like meat or chicken. So they'll kind of do individual meals there, and they'll kind of make a special one for me. Usually is salmon, rice, and some veggies. So
Not
it's
bad.
a yeah, it's pretty good meal there.
When did you kind of make that, when did you make that move?
Yeah, I was kind of helping in middle of college. I was playing PDL for a team in Florida. They kind of gave us apartments, and I was just kind of experimenting with my cooking, what feels good for me. And yeah, I know I just kind of gradually kind of steered in that direction, and
I hear you.
I enjoy doing it. I don't really eat much dairy, or I don't eat much really much gluten either, so not that I'm totally free, but no, I kind of minimalize those things as well.
For sure. No, I'm actually the same way. I try to do the pescatarian route as well. I mean, if the that's the thing with meat, man. Like, if it's not sourced right and you don't have good quality, for me it kind of makes me feel a little heavy and some weird symptoms after eating it. And fish,
Right.
eggs, things like that make me feel much better.
No, I agree 100%. So, yeah, for sure. And then after the rest of the day, when I get home, usually I'll kind of, go home, maybe rest for a bit, and then go back into town. All the guys are usually at coffee shops and just kind of hang out with some of my teammates.
Solid.
Really, yeah, lately trying to get into reading more. Obviously, get the brain ticking in other ways. Then,
For sure.
it's not good to be coming back from training and staring at a screen for when you're at home. So,
For sure.
make dinner and just kind of get an early night. And also, I've always, the last couple of years, I've been into like kind of stretching, kind of after dinner before I go to bed. It's kind of like this 25, 30-minute routine I kind of do every day. And just terms of recovery and stuff, I just, kind of feel good and kind of just
Solid.
calms you down before I go to bed and everything as well. So it's good. Yeah.
For sure, for sure. How are the guys out there? I mean, there's a lot of I know the English lads and the UK lads, the Irish lads, they love a bit of banter.
Oh, of course. No, the guys are great. I think, Edge and Doc, the team chemistry is, probably the best I've been a part of, really. And I'd say it's probably quite a few Irish guys. There's also a couple of players over from England. Myself and Josh Gatt, who's another American at the club right now,
Solid.
along with another guy from Serbia, Stefan Kolovic. So yeah, us foreign guys in Dundalk, especially during our families and everything in Ireland, definitely spend a lot of time together, and
For
we
sure.
become extra close with them. So no, it's good.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I mean, people don't realize that, when you hop into the team, generally you cluster with the foreigners and they become your family,
Yeah, of course, not just them. I mean, all the guys from Ireland are super welcoming. So, the
Yeah,
whole
I was
team
gonna
is.
ask you that. How were they in terms of, welcoming you?
No, it was great. Obviously, being like one of the younger guys in the team, as we were a pretty senior squad that have had a lot of, success the last couple of years, and being American, oh, they welcomed me well, and couldn't,
That's
like I
awesome.
said, couldn't ask for a better set of teammates there. And same with the team I'm on loan with, Athlone, even though I'm not really here every day, and obviously here mainly for maybe one training the night and match day. They've been super nice to me, and especially when I'm here, they take care of me well. So as you can
Solid.
imagine, there's always good people you'll meet along the way, and
For
it's great.
sure. Good and shitty people.
Yeah, I guess I'm lucky enough to I've much more of the good in my time in Ireland, but
Yeah,
you
man,
never
dude,
know,
Irish people are there. Honestly, I went over there for I think like a weekend in Dublin while I was younger, and I was like, man, every person in Ireland is so friendly. Like they want to know where you're from, and other countries they just walk by you and they'd spit at you. In Ireland, they're real chill,
Right. Well, yeah, no, I've been lucky with that for sure.
For sure, man. Yeah, I forgot what I was gonna ask. Oh. The style, I mean, the style in Ireland, the style in England, obviously it's known to be very physical. Have you seen that?
Yeah, so it'll be quite different between, say, Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers, or the bigger teams in the Premier Division who have, players from, all over, the best players in Ireland, English players that are going to play more of a, like more of an attractive, playing style of football out of the back and everything. But, as you go down a bit, it's definitely going to be more direct, and
For
especially
sure.
in the league I'm playing now, the second tier, it's going to be a lot of, channel balls, and,
Yeah.
the midfield is gobbling, getting the second balls, and, kind of playing from there. So no, it is reality, once you're, in those lower tiers of the game. And the same as
For
England, the
sure.
Premier League's going to have play a lot more quality than as you go down the leagues. But no, it's something you just got to adapt to, and whatever game you're in, you got to use your skill sets to impact the game however you can. So
for sure. Yeah. How do you feel you've kind of adapted personally to that?
Yeah, it's good. Cause, I mean, I think I do have some good technical abilities. I think my strengths are kind of technical ability, middle of the pitch, passing range, getting in the box and to score goals as well. But I think I do have a bit of physical presence that I can kind of provide that steal in midfield. So, yeah, I think it's adapted well and scored a couple of headers as well. So it kind of fits in with that set piece style as well. So, yeah, just got to do what you have to do to impact the game no matter where you are. So, yeah.
Of course. No, that's a good point there, man. I mean, like we had spoken about in the beginning as well, like I told you, I watched your highlight tape. I mean, I think a big quality as a footballer, as an athlete overall, is being able to adapt, and like you said, being able to, and that's part of, game intelligence, game IQ, watching games, having experience. But I think, some younger guys, and I've seen questions and heard things like, I'm usually a striker. My coach switched me to right back. What do you think I should tell the coach? And for me, it's always like, you should take it as an opportunity to learn the position, because if you're really trying to take your game to the next level and play at a top level, you don't know the system or the coach. You don't know the system of the coach and how he wants you to play. So I think it's essential to be able to play in different roles.
100%. I mean, whatever's going to get you on the pitch at the highest level and, push your career or, whatever your goals are, basically put you closer to them. I mean, when I was earlier in Dundalk, I played a friendly against Crusaders. Crusaders is a team from Northern Ireland at right back. And, I've played a little bit of outside back with Dundalk and training and stuff like that. So, it's basically whatever going to get you in the starting 11 at the highest levels you can. So, obviously, game intelligence will play a factor into that. And, obviously, having a versatile skill set's never going to be a bad thing. So, I agree.
No, and, we were talking before, about physical presence. And then you said you had a session in the gym. How often are you guys in the gym as a team?
Yeah, so obviously depends on when your next game is through that periodization. But League of Ireland, usual match day would be Friday night, actually. So usually it'd be a Monday, Tuesday, with the team gym session. It's kind of more like a full body workout, and then it kind of depends on Thursday. It's kind of optional if you do some uppers or something like that, but obviously it'd be kind of lighter on the legs and stuff heading into the game. So
yeah,
no, it's definitely the comprehensive gym schedule, and obviously the fitness coach at Dundalk is great. Then he puts that all together for you, so it's good.
For sure. No, sometimes you need a little uppers, look good in your jerseys, a little pump.
No, 100%, but obviously, even with your core and everything, you having this strong upper body, of course.
Yeah, yeah. in addition to the team sessions, obviously, you're a newcomer and things like that, but do you do any extras on the side, any extra physical stuff, any extra technical stuff? How do you look at that?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, even after the session, whether it's doing a bit of technical stuff, kind of on a daily thing, I like doing that. Kind of really depends on when the game is, and it's all situational based in the week. It's not a one size fits all thing. So whether it's like that Thursday uppers or maybe if you had 2 days off, it was different for me because I was playing with Athlone the matches but still training with Dundalk. So there'd be some days that I would play a match and then the next day I'd train with Dundalk and then I'd be off the next day. So my periodization was wasn't exactly fitted for my match schedule because I was doing a bit of both.
Sure.
No, but exactly. So whenever you feel like something could benefit you, you might as well go for it. But obviously rest is important as well. You don't want to think that
for sure.
Doing more is always the best in terms of from a physical perspective at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've kind of when I first came over to Europe, I was all about coming over as an American, just working hard. But then when I you start to feel that strain on the body, and I went over to Sweden eventually, and it was like I learned that, more isn't always better. Better is better. Better training, smarter training is what it's all about. And like you said, listen to your body. And the most important thing is listening to the game schedule, because it's all about being fresh. You could do as much individual training as you want, but if you're not fresh for the matches, what's that going to do for you,
Yeah, it's a frustrating session as well, because obviously, you
Exactly.
know, when coaches are evaluating players, to play and everything, and you got to be fresh and performing at a high level in training. So, that shouldn't be overlooked either, because every day
For
really
sure.
is an opportunity to be evaluated and to prove yourself. So you don't want to be leaving any stones unturned there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Exos has a saying, every day is game day. And just like you said, man, like you gotta when you're competing with other players, you gotta look to be the best player, the hardest worker there, and prove to yourself, to the coaches, that you belong in the 11 on the weekend,
No, of course, of course.
But yeah, you said you do a bit of stretching, things like that. You incorporate any other, recovery methods into your routine, meditation, breathing, ice baths, things like that, or how do you look at your recovery overall?
Yeah, I probably don't do too much deliberate meditation and stuff. Obviously, there's some great value to it. It's not like I'm not the guy to probably log onto the app and kind of go through something guided. But I think the stretching that I'll kind of do in those 25, 30
For
minutes,
sure.
obviously you're not really talking to people or looking at screens. You're kind of just some time to yourself as well, which is nice. Kind of day after a game, usually a team will have a recovery session, but there's this like mobility circuit that I'll kind of incorporate as well, just because I feel like for me, it makes me recover and feel good. And also for sleep, sleep is just so underlooked. If you're sleeping 9 hours, I try to sleep around 9 hours every night, and that's just honestly, you can do all the ice baths and the all the new technology you can, but if
Yeah.
you're not sleeping, it's all the waste.
Yeah, bro. No, two things I want to cover. I mean, first of all, I think sleep is the most important thing, man. Like, overall, for anything you want to do. I mean, everyone's always looking for a supplement, a massage gun, cryotherapy, ice baths. But like you said, if you're not getting 8 to 9 quality hours of sleep, the creatine, the BCAAs, and the other bullshit isn't going to do anything for
No,
you.
of course.
If you're not getting the real recovery, the recovery for the mind and the body. And then, yeah, man, like you said, that other thing that you said there, I mean, I think it's also big to point out that meditation, mindfulness is really becoming big, and these apps are becoming big. But I think one of the most important things is just being able to be present. If you're
No.
present in the moment, that's kind of like moving meditation. Even if you're doing the dishes, you got no headphones and you're not looking at screens, you're paying attention to that. That's a meditation. Like you said, stretching. And you probably don't notice, but you're probably breathing better while you're stretching, and you're breathing into your movements, and that all adds up. So yeah, I mean, I think just being able to incorporate the little habits that you talk about each day is essential to your overall development,
No, I agree. So, definitely.
Yeah, you said you were also, reading a book now, and I think a lot of listeners are, obviously in the corona times, and less time around humans lately, unfortunately. What are your top three books you recommend?
Top three books. I mean, right now I'm just reading like an Irish, it's like a crime fiction, just like a novel. Which is a bit different,
Solid.
kind of definitely kind of detaches you from, football and everything. But it's also some
For
like
sure.
football related books. Obviously, you have your autobiography and everything like that. They're always interesting to read. So, it's just something that, say you're by yourself, you go to a coffee shop, kind of stimulate your mind and, kind of give you kind of something to do as well. Top three books, though. I mean, obviously, growing up, I was the biggest Harry Potter nerd of all time. Just to be honest with you, so I read all the, read all those. So you
You're a
couldn't
fiction
push.
guy.
I'm painting myself in that way, but I think I'm pretty. No, I'm pretty split between the two. But if there's any young people out there, I don't even know if it's still popular with the younger generation now. I'd have to recommend that, and
For sure.
obviously, Zlatan's autobiography. It's some quality content there, and there's so many
Absolutely.
different books. It's hard to pick. Take three, I guess.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, just like you said, man. I mean, any other ways you like to unwind from football? Because, like you, I mean, I think it's football, having football in the brain, being obsessed with football is essential to success, but you also got to unwind. So, anything you like doing on the out, any hobbies you have to get your mind off football?
Yeah, it's tough. So I was in school, it kind of goes without saying you're going to have other stuff to do, school related. And now, kind of been a soccer junkie, and I could be just going to training, coming home, watching it, talking about it. It's easy for me to
Sure.
be kind of consumed with it all day. And even simple things like in Dundalk, I just have a bike, is how I get around. And, it's kind of nice. It's just when you're going point A to point B,
For
you're not sitting
sure.
in the car. It's a small thing, and it's not something that you really aren't intentionally doing to get away from things, but it is. I found it quite relaxing now. I just had to get around and everything.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah, man, getting towards the end of the interview. Got two good questions for you. The first one is, with the knowledge you have right now at 22, what is there any age that you would go back to and kind of, tell yourself, give yourself the advice and change about what you've done? Or, what are your thoughts on that? Like, or crappily worded, honestly.
No,
So if you
I know
got,
where you're getting at,
you know
and
what I mean?
it's, with I have now, there's no major decisions that I would, ever change, because obviously, the kind of path I took is kind of what led me here and also led me to
Sure.
kind of the knowledge I have now, if that makes sense.
For sure.
Maybe in high school, I definitely could have slept more, just in terms of you're waking up early for school, and you probably wasn't as like kind of mindful of getting to bed like super early to make sure I'm getting those 8, 9 hours. But in terms of, career decisions of, things like going to Harvard and coming to Ireland and stuff, I don't regret any of that, because I'm happy where I am now, and I feel like, I'm in a good place to kind of kick on and progress my career from here. So no, you can't really be forgetting anything, if for anybody, because it's all learning experiences wherever you go. So in my opinion.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah, my friend added there, vibing with the tings is good for the mind and soul, my guy.
I just
Kearney,
read.
Kearney, of course it's good, bro. Of course.
No,
But yeah, is
it's
your girlfriend living out there with you, or is she in London?
Yeah, she's not living in Ireland, because she's the same class as me as Harvard, so she just graduated. She just graduated as well. She's originally from England. She's back there. She's a professional squash player, actually. So she has a professional sports career as well, that kind of is on a halt right
Awesome.
now, because that's involves a lot of international travel and everything. But she's doing a part-time master's degree at University of Nottingham, so she's living there and training. So she's full on in her own regard as well. But no, it'll be good to
Love
see
that,
her.
man.
Obviously, our season is kind of aligned somewhere to MLS USL, in terms of, we have two league games left, and we have a cup game. We're in the quarterfinals of the FAI Cup, which for Athlone is obviously, a big game. But then after the season ends, I'll probably spend some time with her and get ready for the following preseason.
No, I mean it's huge. I mean, I talk about it with homies all the time, man. Like, just having an ambitious girl by your side is huge, and someone who supports you is especially when you're on this journey, is big, you know.
100%. Like I was saying, when lockdown hit, I was just staying with her, and obviously her training schedule will be just intense, if not more intense than probably the average footballer, because obviously it's individual. You're
Love
not
that.
following a a team periodization, so you kind of make your own schedule. And I think a lot of those workouts and are great for me. So doing the different circuits and stuff. Obviously, the football stuff on top of it. But I feel like I came back to Dundalk after the break, sharper than I was before Corona. So that was, I think I
Sure.
made the most of that lockdown, for sure.
What would be like, what would be a dream team league for you to play in?
Obviously, there's visas and stuff, because I don't have an EU passport. That obviously makes something difficult. But to play
Sure.
in England, and obviously you never want to say the word realistic, because obviously you want to, every year you want to keep pushing on. But to play the highest levels I can in England would be great. But there's a lot of top leagues in Europe, and right now I just want to progress my career in Europe as far as I can. Just kind of see where it takes me. But like you said, it's
Yes.
kind of living in the
Oh.
moment. You can go on.
No, you go on. You go on.
I was saying, you can't really be thinking too many steps down the line. You're kind of thinking about
Yeah.
where this season, the next step, and
Of
for
course.
me next year, I come back and hopefully have a new deal with Dundalk, and kind of kick on from there, and do well, and obviously in the Premier Division here, and then just see what happens, take it from there.
Oh, we had spoken before. You said your dad's from Turkey. Would you ever want to play in Turkey?
Yeah, I mean, possibility. Obviously, Turkish Super League, and obviously just the
Yeah.
leagues there in general are, very high quality, in terms of on the pitch, and obviously
For
the
sure.
infrastructure of stadiums and fans. So, I definitely keep my options open and for the future.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, and let's just end off, with two to three pieces of advice for any player, no matter their age, who they are, to become a pro. What are two to three pieces of your advice?
First thing, you just have to enjoy it. I mean, you won't become good or, progress anything you don't really love. It's got to be out of love of the game. And for young
Sure.
kids, I think the best players are made in your backyard or your front yard or just the park. It's you just do juggling and kind of just playing on your own,
Yes.
especially when teams are training probably once, twice a week with the game on the weekend. The real players are made just always being comfortable with the ball, and that'll kind of really show up later in their careers. So even now, I still have a ball in the backyard and didn't hook. Say I come home from training, I'll still be kind of juggling and hit it
Yeah.
against the wall. So it doesn't end just when you're younger, because I see
Absolutely.
kind of that engagement with the ball and doing the stuff on your own. A lot of players, it kind of fades away from them once they're in full-time environments where you're training every day. And I think
No,
that's an
that's a
important
very
thing.
good
Always
point.
have fun with it and keep the
Very
ball
good point.
close to you.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that's very underrated, man. I'll get guys reaching out who are like 13, 14, 15, asking me about individual drills, and I just tell them, I'm like, man, go with your boys, go with your friends, play some pickup. Go play in the street, go play in a park. You don't have to be doing like I think, it's like be free and embrace that play aspect. And I think that's something that we lack in America.
For
When I was in
sure.
Germany, when I was in Germany, or even Sweden, every place you go, as well as Israel, there's little parks, like that would be a basketball court. There's basketball hoops, but there's also nets. So it's like you said, man, just going out and enjoying yourself. You don't need cones down. You don't need everything structured. When you get to the higher levels and you're working on more position-specific stuff, I'm all about that. That's what I'm all about. But
Right.
when you're younger, man, you got to develop, like you said, the love, and you got to develop the play aspect. Enjoy the ball, enjoy the game. Because if you don't love it, and your parents are pushing you, and you're doing it to look cool for your friends, you're never gonna enjoy it,
I couldn't agree more. It's funny because obviously I said I live in a small town in Missouri, probably from between 3 to 11, called Rolla. My dad's a professor at a smaller university there. And when I was 10 years old, there's a bunch of graduate students that would just, play pickup, and it was a pretty cosmopolitan, the students were from all over the place, probably 25 years old. And then my dad
Sure.
dropped me off with these guys, and just playing these big pickup games with small goals, and I'm this 10-year-old at 25, and I
That's
loved
awesome.
it. Like, you're taking on
Yes.
guys, you're coming home just loving it when you're playing. And those are the kind of memories I have that really make you the player you are. It's So you just got to have fun and play and develop that relationship with the ball.
For sure. That's a great point. And just like you said, going and playing with older guys, older players, more physical guys, just makes you a better player. It's that simple.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, appreciate having you on, man. Thanks so much for taking the time. And I know you enjoy the podcast. Where'd you hear about the podcast?
Yeah, I know. I've listened to quite a few of your podcasts, I'll be honest with
Yeah.
you. Especially when I'm walking around, an island by myself or something. I like to check a
Love
podcast on. And I don't
it.
know where I heard of it. Actually, I went to high school with Eric McWoods. He went to my high school. We never played on the same team because, he played high school and I played for Scott Gallagher's Academy. And he's obviously he's had a great career in Europe now and a
Yeah,
couple different
machine that
spots,
guy.
but I think, yeah, I know, machine, but I think I saw his podcast posted, and then I listened to that, and then
Love
started
it, man.
listening to a couple more. So no, I'm a fan. I'll be listening to your future. Honored to be on this one.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. So, wish you the best of luck. Stay safe, stay healthy, and be good, man.
Yeah, you as well. Nice meeting you.
All right, brother. Have a good one, homie.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, peace. Homies, thanks so much for tuning in to the 64th episode of the Footballer's Journey podcast. If you made it this far, I really, really, really appreciate you. I'm sure you learned a lot. I'm sure you took some great golden nuggets out of this information. But as I always talk about, you can take as much information in your ears. You can read as much information as you want. But make sure you apply this information to your life instantly, and I'm sure you'll see a big impact. As I always talk about, I really appreciate your support on every single piece of content I put out, on every single platform. Without you guys and girls, I wouldn't be able to do this. And I am so grateful to be able to help you out in any way I can. And I would appreciate if you could help me out real quick. If you have the time, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Really helps me out, really helps me grow the podcast and helps other people around the globe, helping them pursue their dreams, whether they're a footballer, whether they're an athlete, whether they're working a 9-to-5. We want people to chase their dreams. Man, who's texting me? But anyways, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. As always, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. If you want to reach out to Tanner, I will drop his Instagram and other links in the description. Have a great rest of the day. I look forward to talking to you soon. Much love. Deuces.